This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The United States and our allies strengthen our commitments to defeat terrorism. We're also making tremendous progress. Earlier this week, with the strong support of the United States and the global coalition, Iraq forces liberated the city of Mosul from ISIS control. Now we must work with the government of Iraq and our partners and allies in the region to consolidate the gains and ensure that the victory stays a victory, unlike the last time. Last week, the G20 leaders also reaffirmed the right to sovereign nations to control their borders. We must be strong from within to defend ourselves from threats from the outside.
With Macron in Paris celebrating Bastille Day, and again reinforcing the vision in how he's been able to bring the international community together, fighting the good fight, very, very impressive. And I got to imagine, Scott, people on the left and Democrats back home that want him impeached continue to see this president on the world stage. And I mean, again, I'm reminded, my dad always said, the cream rises to the top. And Trump, regardless of how much they would try to tamp him down and make him seem like he's so incompetent, continues to just prove that they're so disconnected from reality. And even Democrats, you're starting to see an erosion of the Democratic base where they're going, hey, enough of this stuff already. And I think maybe it's becoming clear, as we've been saying on this show, that this is what we're paying for. We the people, we are paying for this kind of incompetence and this kind of obstructionism. When we have a country that has been hurting and needs to get back to work and take care of some serious issues, Donald Trump is doing all that he can to do this in spite of their hindrance and their resistance. Look what happens, what's happened to job creation. The stock market is looking rather healthy in the midst of all this stuff, regardless of all the innuendo and rumors and the Russian boogeyman going about. Again, as we were talking about this yesterday with one of our guests, you've got to allow the special prosecutor. You've got him in there. You're paying for him. Let him do their job and let him, ferret out through all this stuff. But unfortunately, the nature of humanity being what it is, that in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and this opinion rules kind of thing has just opened the gate for the media to come in with all kinds of suggestion and stuff that's, rather reckless. I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, here's the things that we want to look for, and these are the kind of questions that we want answered. But to suggest that they've already arrived to the answer, I think is very dangerous and reckless. It only hinders the entire process. It gets people all agitated. And, of course, this is our culture today. We feed into that stuff. We don't want to not know. So we'd much rather just give our own idea, and even if later on we're proven wrong, well, we just deal with reality and ignore it, and somehow we were still right regardless, which is just absolutely silly. And especially, I think these people that are in a position to, of responsibility in terms of reporting on the news and pursuing the facts and the truth as we do, I believe that if you, if you abandon that reason, then you deserve the scrutiny of the general public. And in certain cases, people are unsubscribing from the newspapers. They're no longer watching TV channels that they watch because they know it's fake news. They know it's something they can't rely on. And ultimately, people want to be able to know that what they're getting, that it's credible. And that the people have done the hard work and research so that it does have veritas. a lack of that, and you're just a regular complainer, and you're measured accordingly. And people are embarrassed when they find out that they've been lied to.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Hey, back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's time to talk about religion versus science, okay? And other false choices. We're fortunate to have with us Carl Treleaven, author of The Unexpected Perspective, business executive, church elder at St. Petersburg, Florida, held leadership positions with multiple charities, most recently National Christian Foundation of Tampa Bay, the Rotary Foundation, Stop Cleft International, and Meet the Need Ministries. Carl, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much for having me today.
Hey, I want to focus on the title of your column here about rethinking religion versus science. We've been saying this for a long time, that we need to keep it in its proper perspective. You know, we get out of religion the things that need to be drawn out of religion, and science, the things that need to be drawn out of science. And I have always found those two disciplines to complement one another, not be necessarily in conflict. I know everybody has their own opinion of that, but I've found more evidence that would indicate that science reinforces religion and doesn't stand in contradiction of it.
Well, I come very much to the same conclusion, that they are not a dichotomy there. One of the key points I begin with in the book is to say that the Bible is not and never was intended to be a science textbook. And therefore, when we look at it and we start trying to draw scientific conclusions, we start going down the wrong road. And that's the argument that I made, that it's a mistake to look at it that way. And as a result, it becomes possible that someone could easily believe in what Darwin has been saying about the theory of evolution by natural selection.
But even Darwin had to, you know, even going into it, had his doubts and said, hey, look, I'm just postulating here. You know, but for those people that wanted to live a life without God, this gave them enough room to basically create a new religion.
In a sense, you're right about that. In fact, one of the points that's made is that Darwin becomes a creation story for atheists. And a lot of Christians have come to the conclusion, therefore, that, oh, if I start believing in Darwin, then that's going to just lead me down the road to losing my faith. The argument I make is that's a false choice.
Exactly.
You don't have to pick one or the other. And in fact, the argument I make is that, ironically, Christians more than any other group ought to love Darwin, and that we ought to embrace him, you know, more than anybody else, even to the point of more than somebody like a prominent atheist like Richard Dawkins.
Why do you say that?
Well, the reason I say that is because I find Darwin actually provides certain things that are really beneficial to Christians. And I'll be happy to share some of them with you.
Yeah, please.
The two most basic ones actually have to do with what Christians believe. The most fundamental doctrine in Christianity is first the concept of original sin, that the original humans were sinful and that sin has been passed down to all the rest of us. And the second point is that, well, if Christians are sinful, what can we do about it? And the Christian argument is, well, you can't overcome it yourself. Those are unique doctrines within Christianity, and they provide the reason Christians believe Jesus came to earth, lived, died, and was resurrected, but his death was atonement for sin. Mm-hmm. Now, up until now, it's really just been a belief. What's the evidence that, in fact, the original humans sinned and that sin is somehow passed down to everybody else? The argument I make is that Darwin provides an outstanding explanation for that process. And the second part of it is Darwin also provides a way to explain the idea that Christians can't overcome that on their own. In other words, we're stuck with it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to overcome it is through belief in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So those are the two basic reasons. And then I have a couple other ones in the book. But the ostensible conclusion I come to is Christians really should absolutely bear hug embrace Darwin because he reinforces things we already believe.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing that happens is on the surface when we look at it, and of course people's interpretation of Darwin, it comes in conflict. But, you pose an interesting proposition here. And, when it comes to things of God, you know, God says, look at, you know, let's sit down, let's reason together. Scientists today don't necessarily want to reason, do they?
Well, I'm sure there are some that don't. Although I think there's other research that shows that non-Christian scientists simply don't understand what, you know, Christians are thinking. And likewise, many Christians don't understand what scientists are thinking. As an example, there's a research group down in Houston at Rice University that studied this question extensively, and they find there's just great misunderstanding on the part of both groups.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say that Darwin's theory may actually create some challenges for secular humanists. So break that down.
Sure. Well, one of the points in the book is this idea that, you know, Christians believe that they can't overcome their own sinful behavior on their own. And I make the argument that Darwin, I believe, reinforces that. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to the following thing, is that the process of we as humans, I believe, are evolved. And what you can think of is every human behavior as like a coin with a head and a tail. Mm-hmm. Think of the head as the good side of a behavior and the tail as the bad side of a behavior. And let me give you an example with respect to monkeys. Now, monkeys are not human, and yet there's a lot of evidence that shows that they can deceive, lie, steal, do the kind of things that we humans think of as sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't think of the monkey as a sinner, and the reason being is because the monkey doesn't have a big enough brain to have consciousness, understanding of right or wrong, and can't make it. Choose what he does. He just does it. So why does the monkey lie, cheat, and steal? Well, actually, it's ways to keep surviving.
Mm-hmm.
The argument is this: that humans do the same thing. You know, we have all those things, and the benefit for us is it helps us succeed to the next generation. That's the head. But what's different about us? We have consciences. We have the ability to know right and wrong. We have the ability, even though we know something is wrong, we still do it. That's the thing that really distinguishes us. That's the tail of it.
Mm-hmm.
So back to your question about, you know, the argument against secular humanism. secular humanist.
I'll tell you what we better do here, Carl, only because we're coming to break really quick, and I want to give you plenty of time, and so for the audience to track with you. So we'll reconnect here in just a few moments as we take a mandatory break. Carl Treleaven is with us, and more from Carl on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Everything you've heard about or read about regarding identity theft is wrong. There are dozens and dozens of companies out there claiming that they can prevent identity theft or that monitoring your credit file will help you prevent identity theft. And I'm here to tell you, it's simply not true. It's a scam. No one can prevent identity theft, and I mean no one. Credit monitoring will not alert you to 80% of the fraudulent issues that can happen to you. Friends, there's only one company that has the solution to identity theft. That's my friends over at Liberty ID. Liberty ID fixes the damages caused by identity theft. In fact, they've successfully restored the identities of over 60,000 individuals without fail. Call my friends at Liberty ID today to see if you've been compromised. If you're on your cell phone, you probably have been, and my friends at Liberty ID will let you know if you have and what you can do to fix it. Call right now, 844-44-LIBERTY. That's 844-44-LIBERTY, or visit them at libertyid.com and use discount code GCN at checkout.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
Now, welcome. Welcome home. 19 after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Carl Treleben is with us, author of The Unexpected Perspective. He's a business executive, church elder in St. Petersburg, Florida, right across on the west side. I'm on the east side of Florida, so both of us are batting down the mosquitoes and no-see-ems because it's the season, isn't it, Carl? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you, Carl.
It is indeed that season. get your flies water out.
Exactly. So. Well, and if, especially if you can see the no-see-ems, they sneak up on you, and this is why you're so stealthy, right? Well, yes. The unexpected perspective, what should Christians think about Charles Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection? What should they think about the Big Bang Theory ever since these theories were developed in the mid-19th and early 20th centuries, respectively? There's been seemingly endless debate with no single resolution generally accepted by the majority of Christians. And Carl Treleben is giving us a fresh look at it to say, look, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is something, again, positive to be drawn, even out of those things that we think are most negative, if you appreciate that all things work together for good, as God would remind us. Before the break, we were talking about how Darwin's theory, Carl, may actually create some challenges for secular humanists.
Right. So you recall I talked before the break about the idea of human behavior like a coin with a head, that being the positive side, the tail being the negative side.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk a little bit about what secular humanists believe. First thing they tend to believe is that, hey, you know, we should depend upon science. If we just kind of get away from religion and all the flaky things they see that religion has, rely upon our reason and our good intentions, then we can solve pretty much any type of problem we have. And the goal, in effect, is literally nothing less than the perfectibility of mankind. That, hey, if we just work on these things, we'll sooner or later overcome any type of a problem that we may have. You know, it sounds real good, but here's the problem for the secular humanist with what I'm saying. First of all, I'm saying is Christians, hey, absolutely embrace the very science that the secular humanist does. But here's what I'm doing. I'm then taking it and turning it against them in the following way. If what I'm saying is correct, think about the tail on that coin. The argument I'm making is, hey, we're stuck with all this bad stuff. And the reason we're stuck with it is it's because of our evolutionary background. We've evolved. And we have the good stuff, and the bad stuff is with it. We can't do anything about it ourselves. Well, if that's the case, then in effect, the rug gets pulled out from under the secular humanist.
Yeah, I mean, as Paul said, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I do.
Right.
You know, this is common to all men, isn't it?
Yeah, and one of the ideas I put in the book briefly is the idea, the dichotomy of human progress. And here's the dichotomy. On one hand, our technology keeps getting better and better and better. I mean, every day we get new and better technology. And yet, even though we have all this fantastic technology, we're still, as humans, dealing with the very same moral problems we've had all along. We still fight, argue, cheat, steal, all those things. Mm. We haven't gotten the least bit better in any single dimension like that.
Amazing.
That's
the
dichotomy.
You think about it, Ten Commandments, very much appropriate today as it was back then, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Through the millennia that carries through in spite of all this new technology, to your point. Excellent.
Right. And as I say, the real reason isn't because it's not that we don't know what's right and wrong. It's not that we don't want to do it. It's that we can't.
Mm.
And the reason we can't is because of, in effect, our evolutionary heritage. Mm. We're stuck with it.
Yeah, because I think that even secular humanists, I always talk about that 3 o'clock in the morning meeting that we have. Many of us would say it's with God. Others might say maybe it's just some bad thinking or whatever, or bad food that they had the night before. But it causes you to stare at the ceiling tiles and occasionally ponder the serious issues of life. And
absolutely.
And that is common to all of us, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
No, and so the argument is, hey, it's a fool's errand for us to think that we individually or even as humans collectively can overcome that ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we have to turn to God. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Christians have been saying ever since there's been Christianity.
Well, Carl, I got to tell you, with your book, I loved right off the bat. I mean, you went for the jugular in chapter one. You know why the Bible was never intended to be a science textbook. You write every once in a while we're confronted with different accounts of the same events. Which one do we believe? Sometimes the choices are obvious, but other times not so obvious. Consider the question of how the world began. Humans have always had creation stories, one of which is Genesis. Non-Christians have had their own variations and versions of this story. Scientific discoveries over the past 200 years have called those creation stories into question. Among the elements that have been called into question by science are evidence that the universe began approximately 13.8 billion years ago, not the estimated 6,000 or so years, as based on a literal reading of Genesis. The other two questions, humanity has evolved from precursor species over millions of years through natural selection, not from a single man or woman named Adam and Eve. And third, the original human population was no less than 5,000 persons, not Adam and Eve alone. I mean, these are big questions in the current culture and vernacular that are brought up. And I love the idea that you went head to head with it right at the very beginning.
I saw no other way than to do something like that. But also, the point I want to make is that Christians should not be afraid of any of that. And as I pointed out here, if anything, part of the unexpected side of this is simply to be able to turn the arguments around against opponents of Christianity to say, hey, you know, all this evidence you've been relying upon to build your case, well, you may want to reconsider that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, and this whole idea that we're talking nearly 14 billion years and then 6,000 years or so, you know, I say, you know, so what? And I think it's covered in the book of Genesis where it talks about how in the period of time where there was chaos reigning, there was darkness over the earth. I mean, that could count for an inestimable amount of time. Couldn't that just in and of itself, just that one phrase?
Sure. One point to note is, and there was actually a study done that compared what's said in Genesis 1 with the actual science, and it was mm-hmm. mapped, you know, in effect, day by day.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. What is that resource? I'd love to see that resource.
It actually was first cited in the Huffington Post a few years ago, but it actually looked at, you know, all right, day one of Genesis corresponds to this time period, day two and so on from there.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I've got to pull that up. Thank you for bringing that up. I know others, you know, that look to reconcile the Word of God with science. You know, this is a great study, and I appreciate what you have written here, because you're going to cause us all, and I recommend that people get their hands on your book. Not only get the hands, but you know, take the time to open up the pages and chew it up, because this is really good stuff, Carl, and I appreciate all the hard work. I mean, this is you know, something, you know, you don't write overnight. It takes some time, and you know, I appreciate that you responded to the motivation and the direction of God himself, I'm sure, to write this book.
Great. Well, thank you very much for having me on today. If anyone is interested in it, you might mention that it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I also have a blog at unexpectedperspective.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love it when the authors come on and they mention these things, because it's important. We want to make sure that they were not, because so often sometimes, you know, we'll run the conversation to the very end. They go, how can I get my hands? And I always say, remind them that it's also linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Carl Treleaven, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Carl.
Married. Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself, too. because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Six out of ten Americans say, hey, we're on the wrong track. I say, great observation. Now, what do you want to do about it? Huh? What does the right track really look like? That is the debate that continues in our culture today. And I say, keep talking. That's why we love the First Amendment so much. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. I'm Bill Martinez. Bruce Kaufman. Yes, our favorite historian is back with us. Award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. And we're talking about Bastille Day. Today is Bastille Day, right? I mean, yesterday was French Fry Day. I guess everybody was having their freedom fries like crazy. That was part of it. I mean, this has been a week that was. 7-Eleven, their anniversary, they were giving, on 7-Eleven this week, they were giving away, what's the drink? Oh, the Big Gulps or something? No. What's the freezy drink? My mind is gone. Do you remember?
Got me, Bill.
Slushies. The slushy things? I guess they were giving those, and then, of course, if you dressed like a cow and you went to Chick-fil-A, then they gave you a free chicken sandwich. I mean, it's just been kind of one of those giving weeks here in the middle of July. Why not, huh?
Why not? It's hey, July.
Well, good. It is July, and our president is in Paris celebrating Bastille Day. And let's talk, Bruce, because, there's so much. This is, I guess, part of the challenge when you get further away from the point of history where history actually occurs. You get urban legend, you get the rewrite of history, and the storming of the Bastille is no different than any other bit of history, from day one of mankind, is it?
No, it really isn't. I mean, I've always said that, okay, the revolutionaries botched the French Revolution. It turned out to be bloody chaos, as we all know. Mm-hmm. But they were really good at the seminal event was the storming of the Bastille. This was the spark that lit the match that created the fire that was the French Revolution. Mm. But the revolutionaries rewrote that story. They rewrote it so that the story was a legend, and it electrified the people, and it put new energy into the revolution. Basically, what they did was they created a whole bunch of myths about the storming of the Bastille. For instance, okay, the myth was that this undermanned citizens' army stormed the Bastille and somehow won a victory over this hugely defended prison that was defended by King Louis the XVI's best troops. Mm-hmm. Actually, there were 30 Swiss mercenaries and 80 French invalides. And an invalid is someone who tried to join the French army and was rejected. So we have 110 people defending the Bastille against approximately 900 to 1,000 people who attacked.
Yeah, so these 80 invalides are the guys that couldn't shoot straight or something, right?
They're the guys that couldn't shoot straight, basically. Exactly.
Okay.
And then the Swiss mercenaries, of course, are getting paid. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how eager they were to lose their lives over being paid by this to defend the Bastille against these attackers. But in any event, that's a myth. It didn't happen that way at all. The other myth, and this myth was promulgated by the revolutionaries, hired painters to paint a deliberately distorted painting of the Bastille, making it look like this mighty fortress with tall walls and high ramparts, that the only way you could scale these things was if you were so flushed with patriotism that you took on superhuman powers.
Yeah, it had to be you were on a mission. You're on a mission from God himself in order to make it work.
Right. Exactly. Actually, the Bastille was a rundown fort converted into a rundown prison. It was falling apart. The exterior courtyard was not defended. People walked around it all the time. If you needed a sunny walk and you wanted to go look at the tomato garden that the warden of the prisoner was planting, you could go chat with him, chat with the gatekeeper. It was poorly defended. And it was a rundown prison. So it wasn't that hard to scale and overcome.
Yeah, how much military force are you going to put up to defend some broken down prison, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Myth number three is that the Bastille was teeming, was chock full of political prisoners, overflowing with political prisoners who'd been brutally jailed because they had somehow slightly criticized the monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when the Bastille was stormed on July 14th today, There were six prisoners that were being held. Four of them had been legally found guilty of forgery. Two of them were found to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, who actually just got removed right before the Bastille storm, was the Marquis de Sade. Okay,
oh,
our
yes.
poster boy for sexual masochism.
Yeah.
He was in the Bastille, but they moved him because he started screaming all these crazy things, and so they put him in an insane asylum. So there's seven people in the Bastille when it is stormed. Four of them were legally convicted of forgery. Two of them were crazy.
And one Marquis got himself out of there on a
right.
Oh Lord.
Because they put him committed to an insane asylum because he was screaming gibberish, basically.
Yes. Well,
so there's another a myth. The other myth is, okay, that the prisoners in the Bastille were treated horribly, that they were starved and they were tortured. The actual truth is that they were living better than their countrymen. They were wards of the state. They were in the prison system, so they were given regular daily meals, all right, which was a lot better than their half-starved countrymen who were fighting over breadcrumbs in 1789.
Exactly.
It was food riots that sparked the storming of the Bastille.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to say
yeah, they wanted the prisoners' food, you know,
better than the countrymen.
Exactly. They say, hey, let's go after the prisoners are eating better. Let's go after their food, you know.
Yeah, right.
Pretty
crazy. I mean, essentially, and Simon Schama wrote a wonderful book called Citizens, which explains all this. Essentially, the revolutionaries used the Bastille as a propaganda tool to electrify the country and pump new energy into this revolution that they were starting. That was the myth of the storming of the Bastille.
And here we are, many years down the road. The French celebrate Bastille Day like this glorified event. I guess they don't want to hear the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yes. Well, you know the French. They like to paint the picture of them being the bravest, greatest citizen soldiers the world has ever seen.
Well, as you say, talk about spin, boy. They are the perennial spinmeisters and doing a great job there. So who knows? Maybe they can help Donald Trump out a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking about the fact that he's there. I'm sure that he's going to get a tour of the Bastille, and I bet you that a whole bunch of Frenchmen and a whole bunch of Americans are hoping that they throw him into the Bastille.
Put him in there with the, hey, where's the Marquis de Sade or a couple of nutcases that we had there? Who knows, you know? Hey, you know, what can you do here? But interesting that, you know, like anything, like we talked about with history, it is so easily rewritten. This is why, Bruce, and I'm so thankful for you and our relationship, is that you remind us of the truth, especially from a historic perspective. It is so important that we do capture the truth and that we're vigilant and really, you know, stand against those that would want to rewrite history. And, you know, because it alters our perspective. I mean, clearly, who was it that said, I think it was Orwell, said he who controls our past controls our present and our future, right?
Yep. Yeah, and as George Santayana said, those who forget the lessons of the past are doomed to repeat them. And that's the thing that, about telling the truth, Bill. We have revisionist history in which the United States, some people will rewrite the history to make us look better than we are. Some people will rewrite the history to make us look worse than we are. My point has always been, and you and I agree on this, is that you tell the truth, good or bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. The truth, when our history is good, that inspires us. When our history is bad, that teaches us.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't want to see revisionist history where they're altering the truth, because I think that is, whether you're altering it to make us look better, you're altering it to make us look worse, they're both counterproductive. The whole idea of telling the truth is we learn from the bad and we're inspired by the good.
You know, as I tell the kids, you know, that experience defines preference. And you want to make sure that you can appreciate the totality of that experience. If you're going to blunt it and reduce its significance, you reduce, therefore, its teaching opportunity, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. So, again, as you say, tell the truth, good and bad. We learn from the bad. We're inspired by the good to redouble our efforts to be good. We learn from the bad so that we won't repeat our mistakes. That's
Without
the whole
doubt.
Point of telling the truth in history.
Well, our favorite historian, Bruce Kaufman, is with us. He continues after the break. Stay with us, America. I am Bill Martinez at 18 before the top of the hour.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go to your phone. Because if you give us a call right now, you'll be able to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling minicpap.com, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. That's 1-800-441-9833.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, the things that matter to each of us and what we hope to pass on to our children and our grandchildren. Welcome back, America. 14 before the top of the hour. We're visiting with our favorite historian, yes, the one and only Bruce Kaufman. Bruce, remind everybody how they can connect with you and be in the flow of the know and subscribe to your weekly submissions.
Yeah, Bill, thanks. They can go on my website, which is historylessons.net. That's one word, plural, historylessons.net. And right on the homepage, on the right side, it says subscribe to Bruce's writings. And you have three choices. First of all, if you want to subscribe, you type in your first name, last name, and your email address. And then you pick of the three choices that I send out every week. On Monday, I send out a quote of the week, my idea of a quote that I find particularly interesting or funny or thought-provoking. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, I send out my, and this is in an email, I send out my history column, my syndicated newspaper column on American and world history. And then on Friday, I send out a column I call Thinking Out Loud, which is my take on some of the public policy issues and politics and so on that you and I talk about when I'm on the show. So they can pick one, two, three, all of them, and then just hit send, and I will send you an email on Monday, the quote of the week, on Wednesday, my column, my history column, and on Friday, my Thinking Out Loud column.
Exactly. And you want all three, ladies and gentlemen. Trust me, you'll be blessed three times a week just from Bruce Kaufman, his gift to you. It is a wonderful subscription, and you will thank us very much later on down the road as you experience what Bruce has to share with us. Bruce, you know, just as we were talking about Bastille Day and the myth and reality and that sort of thing, you know, today, you know, when you compare it, not much has changed, really. There are those forces that would want to control the headlines, that would want to control, as Cheryl Atkinson writes about in her book, The Smear, you know, what we think and how we act, how we vote, all those things. Boy, I'll tell you, the spinmeisters are spinning like crazy. And, of course, all exacerbated by this information age in which we live in. What do you say?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, you are trying to, well, this is also in the new information age that we're in which we have, you know, anybody with a laptop computer and a Wi-Fi internet and with a basement and a bathrobe can become an instant expert on.
You got to have the bathrobe. You got to have the bathrobe.
You got to have the bathrobe.
Yeah, because that puts you in a level of expertise that otherwise you wouldn't have.
That's right. When you graduate from that school, instead of a diploma, you get a bathrobe.
Exactly. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And, you know, it's funny you should say that because, you know, when you think about how many people are out there in bathrobes writing up some of this junk, and you go, oh, man, are we, you know, we better have some critical thinking in play here. Otherwise, we're going to be greatly duped.
Yeah. This is one of my problems with the new journalism. I'm, you know, whether you are a liberal reporter for The Washington Post, a conservative reporter for The Wall Street Journal or The Washington Times, most all of you have got a graduate degree, have got a degree in journalism, which means you were taught how to write a story, how to research a story, how to make sure that you got proper sources for the story, get backup confirmation of those sources. Those are the kinds of things that are real journalism, and that's not what's happening out there today.
Well, we have the age of anonymity. I mean, anonymous sources now. I mean, Bruce, when you and I were growing up, it was rare that we heard of anonymous sources, and eventually, even within, and I say eventually, I mean in a matter of months, those anonymous sources, if they started out that way, there seemed to be something else that would back it up. Maybe that original anonymous source may have ridden off into the sunset, but the anonymous source was enough to bring it into the light, and they kind of, you know, either they revealed themselves or they went out, and with their exit came something or someone, rather, with some veritas that would back up what was being reported on, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much a requirement of any journalism that was going on at that time when you and I were growing up. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely a requirement that any sources at some point have to be confirmed or the story that really is suspect, and there's no reason why you could absolutely say it's the definitive version of whatever they're covering.
You know, I often find myself these days, Bruce, you know, praying and you know, looking at this guy and saying, God, is there some voice that can break through some of this silliness to be able to tell people that we need to focus on the right things? I mean, right now the media is absolutely sideways and unhinged over this Russian boogeyman thing.
Yeah.
And we're chewing on this thing endlessly. It's like, wait a minute, there's no meat on the bone anymore. Let it go.
Yeah. Well, on the Russian thing, let's face it, Bill, that the Trump campaign has been shown to have said they've been shown to be false in saying that there was no collusion with the Russians. There was collusion. Mm-hmm. Trump Jr.'s meeting with Jared Kushner and with Steve Bannon with this Russian lawyer, that's collusion. Mm-hmm. The question, however, is collusion is not illegal.
Right.
There's nothing wrong. There's no law against collusion. What there's a law against is conspiracy.
Right.
So the question in this whole Trump thing is, did the Russians, in contacting Trump Jr. and meeting with them, say, okay, guys, independent of you guys, we found this information that we want to share with you, mm-hmm. provided that they are not being paid for that information, it's perfectly legal for them to share with the Trump people that information. However, here's what conspiracy is. If the Trumps, from the get-go, were working hand-in-hand with the Russians as they illegally tapped Hillary's phones, illegally tapped the phones of the Democratic National Committee, or hacked their computers, if the Trump were working with them and knew about that and were complicit in that as they were doing that, that's conspiracy.
Yeah, we got Watergate. But, yeah, but that's, you know, I'm not connecting that dot yet.
I'm not either, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. All, as you pointed out, everybody has already found, in the media, Trump has been found guilty. The right. whole Trump team has been found guilty. No, all we know is that they met and the Russians wanted to share information that made Hillary look bad. We do not know yet if they were complicit in the gathering of that information. That would be conspiracy. Right now, it's just collusion.
Yeah, it's, you know, some of the stuff is collusion, some of it's incompetence. I mean, when you have John Podesta, you know, his password being password, you know, I mean, some of this stuff is just, you know, pretty crazy, kind of insane. They kind of set themselves up for this. And the thing is that I consider as well, Bruce, and I'm sure you think about this, is that it's not like America is pure on this issue. I mean, there is documented empirical evidence of our meddling. I mean, even most recently in Israel and in other areas of the world. So it's like, look, at if you guys are doing it, you think that nobody's going to try and come back and, you know, put their fingers in our recipe as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Obama administration obviously was meddling in the Israeli election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And also, as the Trump campaign has pointed out, this whole idea, you can look at this as a conspiracy, you can look at it as collusion, but you can also look at it as they're basically providing us with opposition research.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Which happens all the time. In every campaign since I've been born, there are people whose job is the oppo research. Mm-hmm. You go out and find stuff that makes your opponent look bad.
Exactly. Well, and somehow, I mean, this is, boy, I'll tell you, this whole network and this weave of deception, web of deception that's going on, somehow this gal, this attorney, is connected with Fusion GPS that was responsible and connected to the Trump dossier. I mean, it's like, whoa, I mean, you can't even imagine this stuff. I mean, this will cause your brain to explode as you try to connect the dots on this stuff.
It really is. And well, I mean, but this is, again, I mean, I'm not in any way objecting to Mueller or whoever actually going in and investigating this, because I think we need to clear up whether it was merely collusion or whether it was conspiracy. My guess is that it was merely collusion.
Well, but what I would love to see Bob Mueller do is to really address the bigger issue. And under the umbrella of voter fraud, you know, voter integrity, if you want to call it that, let's do a full review. Well, we got the body open. Let's just open it wide and do a total exploratory consideration of the whole voting process.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we have so many people, which I find quite ironic, who die Republican and somehow they're able to come back and be resurrected and vote Democrat. I think it's quite the mystery.
Yeah.
And a bit entertaining. But still, you know, it all compromises, because if we really believe in one man, one vote, you know, the vote is getting canceled out by these shenanigans.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you have on tape, Democratic operatives saying, look, we've been busing people for 50 years. We're not going to stop now. you know, and then you have our former president and the attorney general saying, what are you guys, idiots? There's no voter fraud going on. And I go, well, why do people get arrested and get convicted?
Yeah,
voter fraud.
Yeah, and in the state of Virginia where I live, and they just discovered massive examples of voter fraud. So, okay. So there's an idea. Let's have let's have Mueller, and this is going to take a while, Bill, and it's going to take some resources. But let's investigate every aspect of collusion, conspiracy, voter fraud, all of that. Let's clean the system.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying, look, you know, if we're going to spend all this money, let's, at the end of the day, come out with something. Because what we're going to do is we're going to spend all this money, and Mueller's going to come back, like you say, and which most experts, legal experts even say, Bruce, is that, okay, not a crime. Was there, you know, maybe shades of collusion, you know, kind of deal. It'll be like, you know, Bill Eder's PolitiFact deal.
Right.
And, you know, some pants will be on fire, some won't be, you know, that kind of deal. But at the end of the day, we've spent a bazillion dollars to reinforce what we already know.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time that happened, though.
I know. Can you imagine this in this great government that we live in today? That would be the case. Exactly. Well, Bruce, as always, a joy to have you with us. Appreciate the insight. The president is there celebrating Bastille Day in Paris. Macron, his new BFF, I guess, huh?
Well, let's hope so.
We'll see how that breaks the course. That story continues to be written. Bruce Kaufman on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bruce.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that for me, it took several months of taking One World Way before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Way.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Dan Pilla.